Hi, y'all. I'm Julie.
Hi there. I'm Brenda. Welcome to Insider's Guide to the Other Side.
Now, y'all need to know that we're obsessed with everything on the other side.
Yes, we are. Because once you learn to navigate the energetic, or to some, the invisible world, life is going to be more fun and much more serene.
Heck yes, it can. Because let's be honest, Bryn, Earth School is hard. In fact, you taught me that.
Let's crush Earth School together.
Well, hello, my witchy poo. How in the hell are you?
I am a triple witchy poo today.
Yes, you are.
I am good. And how are you, my elf?
You know, I am so great because I actually get to deliver a message to you that is going to make you so excited. And it's not a message from the other side. It's a message from my other half.
Oh, okay. Which I equally adore.
My other half, my better half, wanted me to let you know, as I was walking toward the back of the house, she goes, baby. I'm like, what? I'm like trying to rush so I'm not late. And she goes, make sure you tell Brenda I just got a new batch of macadamias in, so I'll make the nuts for her.
Oh, that makes me so happy.
And for those that don't know, my wife is a hell of a chef, and she makes magic macadamia nuts. And she doesn't use sugar, but they're sweet. So
and they're keto-friendly.
And they're very keto-friendly. And Brenda loves them. In fact, she hoards them.
I do.
And hides them. And we want to make sure that Brenda doesn't
squirrels
have to do
them
that.
Away.
You're a macadamia squirrel, if there's such a thing. But anyway, so that's my news I thought would make you very happy.
Thank you for that lovely message, and give Suzanne a big squeeze for me.
I will definitely do that.
Yes. Of course, you know, my big push is that we sell those on the Vibe website.
Yeah, right? Oh my God, I know. It's not like she doesn't have enough to do, but I think I think we should definitely do that because they are exquisite. People love them.
Yeah.
God knows you do. So you love it so much, I have to, like, to get you in really great spirits, ha, 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 is to tell you that you will soon have a delivery.
Yay!
There you go. So today is, we are going to talk about this really great article that I found. And it's, yes, fine, nerdy elf. Go ahead. You can call me all day long.
We love nerdy elf.
But I like to read, you know? It's just, I just like to read stuff.
And stuff and things.
I like to read stuff and things. And so this episode, we are calling The COVID Departed. A little bit like I think I've talked about this before, how much I love the show on HBO called The Leftovers. And those that departed, they call them The Departed. And so I'm kind of borrowing from one of my favorite shows with this title.
You know, I have never seen it. So can you tell me a little bit about the show?
Of course you haven't. And I've watched it twice, the full series. So naturally you haven't seen it at all. I know, I've watched it twice. I love it so much. But it is about where 10, I think it's 2% of the population just disappears. And it's the
that
series.
That is like COVID. Right?
Seriously, that's why I think it's actually so, it's aptly titled. And what was so interesting about it is it's such an exploration into who we are at our core. And what do we do when we grieve? Who are we when we grieve? Mm. Who are we when we're fearful? Because that's the big one. Because people are like, wait, what if it happens again? And it's also, who are we when we deal with loss? And that's not just the grief, but the loss part. Because people, like, with their lives would fall apart because of, like, you know, again, 2% of the people leaving, but then they forgot there's 98% still left. You know, it's a little bit of that half empty or half full kind of look. And so I love it because of that exploration. And I thought it was actually aptly an aptly named title for today's show.
I love this. I love your thoughtfulness in the title. And I actually wrote down the series, so I might even watch it.
It's really good. It is. Okay. And it's not gory for you because I know how you are about gore. So
can't
just
do that. Yeah.
No. Okay, Brenda would never watch that.
This sounds relevant today.
Well, and it, right? And I'll tell you, it was so interesting because we were planning on recording today and I was like, we have all these topics that we can talk about. There's no doubt. But I was like, I really want something that is really current. And I was like, I guess manifesting it. And so this morning there was an article that came out on CNN today at 4:07 a.m. Eastern time. And I'm like, thank you, CNN, for listening.
Good morning, nerdy owl.
Yeah. It's like, thank you for hearing me, CNN. Yeah. I really appreciate it.
That's so nice. Well, I can't wait for this article. So share, tell us.
I will share. I will. So this article is actually called They Lost Their Loved Ones to COVID, Then They Heard From Them Again.
Ooh,
right?
I love that.
Right?
It's so, we're going so mainstream. This is great. I mean, I'm sorry for the people who lost their loved ones for a moment, because we know when they leave, they don't go very far. So this is exciting. Tell us more.
Right. So I'm actually going to do a little reading. So everybody just kind of work with me here. So this way you don't have to, I'm not going to read the whole article. There's a lot to it, but we're going to go through pieces of it and talk about it because I loved it so much. So it starts out by saying, they never ran out of things to talk about. It was obvious from the start. He was a brawny former Marine lobster man with a booming baritone. She was a redhead with freckles from Wisconsin who worked in corporate recruiting. They talked about everything from sci-fi movies. Okay, I love these people because they talked about movies. They talked about everything from sci-fi movies and her love for the rock group Bon Jovi to whether the Lord of the Rings film trilogy did justice to J.R.R. Tolkien's books. He asked for permission to kiss her on their first date. She said yes. When Ian and Michelle Horn got married, he wore a purple tie on their wedding day because it was her favorite color.
I love her. She's from Wisconsin and everything.
And purple. I mean, come on. Are you sure you're not related to this woman?
I'm sure, except for the freckles and red hair part.
Oh, fair point.
But I can fix that.
So it goes on to say, as the years rolled by, they got matching tattoos. Okay, definitely not related to you. They got matching tattoos and gave each other nicknames from the movie The Princess Bride. He called her Princess Buttercup, and she called him Farm Boy Wesley. I've never watched it, so I don't know what that means. I know, right?
Blasphemy.
I know, right? I have to be honest, right? This is our job to be honest, and I haven't seen it. They made plans to visit Ireland this year to celebrate her Irish roots. There's the red hair and the freckles. And maybe she might be related to Bridget, right? I mean, maybe.
The magical one.
The magical Bridget. Okay. Then it says, we're never going to get through this. Then it said, then came
No one's surprised by this. Just saying.
Oh, Lord. Came the pandemic. Last fall, after a long battle, Michelle Horn died from complication caused by COVID-19. Ian Horn's superpower, as he called her, was gone. They had been married almost 10 years. But not long after his wife's death, the morning radio DJ in Wichita, Kansas, wondered if Michelle was still speaking to him. He was driving to his job in the pre-dawn darkness when he spotted something odd. About 24 streetlights flanking the highway had turned purple.
Oh, that just gives me chills.
They look like a lavender string of pearls glowing in the night sky.
That just, it was just like a wave that went through me. Oh my God, love her. Love her. Oh,
how incredible. I know, I have chills too. Right? And maybe because you have them, because I have them now.
Electricity, yes. It's like my gum. You stole my gum.
I know. Well, I tell people that really fast, is that when we were getting ready, kind of preparing, I said to Brent, I go, I think I just smelled your gum. Is it like spearmint or something or peppermint? Because I had this big whiff and there's no, I have lavender on in my podcast room. No peppermint.
Always peppermint for me. Anyway. Yeah, so, anyway. But my electricity is so spirits, right? So for her to change those lights to purple, obviously a masterful level, but relatively easy. Easier for them than moving objects.
Right.
So I love that. I love that. And I love that he was paying attention.
Oh, right? This was his soulmate. He loved, he loves her. Not loved, he loves her. Mm. And he's a DJ in Wichita, Kansas at 101.3 KFDI, and he's known as JJ Hayes. So anybody that's in that area or pick it up, or actually can get anything on the internet these days, is to listen to this guy, because I think that, you know, he is someone, and we're going to get deeper into more of his point of view on all of this, because he's talking about this. So big, like massive, like hats off to this guy for... Right? For being so open about it, because as we know,
so generous, right?
So generous and so open and fearless and vulnerable and all the things that, you know, we ask of ourselves and of others. And he's really doing that. So I love that about him. He's not far from me. I might have to drive up and go see him. Could do that.
Yay, we'll have to talk to him. Yay, I love that.
Yeah, I will definitely reach out.
We're going to pause for just a moment. We'll be right back with the rest of the story.
And I didn't argue about that.
I know.
I just want to make note I didn't argue.
This episode is brought to you by Madewell. Ready to step up your denim game? The experts at Madewell use premium fabric and the latest denim technology to make super comfy, never want to take them off jeans in fits and styles for everyone. The kind of jeans you'll reach for again and again. Get $20 off your online jeans purchase by using code SPOTIFY20 at Madewell.com. Terms apply. Please see Madewell.com/promos for full offer details.
Get ready for a road trip unlike any other. On the podcast Haunted Road, join Amy Bruni, star of the hit TV show Ghost Hunters, for a guided tour of America's most haunted locations and hear from the expert paranormal investigators who've experienced these places firsthand.
You'll be in the building all alone and you'll hear conversations down the hallways. It'll be more than one person. When you're in that building, it just really feels like something's just standing over your shoulder.
Hear true tales of chilling encounters.
Then I saw a full-fledged shadow figure stand right in the doorway of the room. And as soon as I pointed it out, you actually saw the shadow run.
And discover the dark secrets of our country's most active paranormal sites.
Everywhere on this planet where something horrible has happened, it leaves that negative imprint. This place had an atom bomb of negative energy dropped on it.
Listen to Haunted Road with Amy Bruni, starting July 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back to my Nerdy Elves CNN story.
We're going to call it the ENN, Elf News Network.
Nice.
We don't need C. We can drop the C. It'll be the E, the Elf News Network. So
it
today.
NEE, Nerdy Elf Network.
Nerdy Elf. Okay, fair enough. All right. So on the NECC, or wait, yeah, NENN, that's a lot. That's a lot of N's.
A lot of N's.
Yeah. So on my network, where I want to go next is, this is fascinating because I have to confess in advance, because I haven't had a confession in a while, is that as I'm reading this, I believe early this morning, I did that could have had a V8 move, like pop my forehead, because I have been waiting for the right moment for actually you to start telling your story that you've never told before on the show. So here's, I'm going to go. I know, but I wish you guys could see Brenda's face right now. She's like, what the hell are you doing, my elf?
Oh my God. Okay.
What's wrong with you, my elf? Okay. So here's where we go.
Okay.
So we're going to go to a place. There's a subhead here that says reported encounters with departed loved ones are not uncommon. Thank you, by the way, writer, right? It says the corona pandemic has now killed more than 600,000 Americans. I said Americans. That was weird. Try it again. The coronavirus pandemic has now killed more than 600,000 Americans. Many of us have never had a chance to hug or say farewell to loved ones. By the way, who says farewell? Fucking nobody does. Somebody's like, farewell. Or say farewell to loved ones who died alone and isolated in hospital wards due to fears of spreading the virus. But there is another group of pandemic survivors who say they have been granted a second chance to say goodbye. They are people like Horn, who believe they've been contacted by a loved one who died from coronavirus. These experiences can be subtle. Relatives appearing in hyper-real dreams, a sudden whiff of fragrance or gum worn by a departed loved one, or unusual behavior by animals. Okay, my animal's always behaving unusual. Other encounters are more dramatic. Feeling a touch on your shoulder at night, hearing a sudden warning from a loved one, or seeing the full-bodied form of a recently departed relative appear at the foot of your bed. These stories may sound implausible, but they are in fact part of a historical pattern. There is something in us or in our lost loved ones that won't accept not being able to say goodbye. And whenever there is a massive tragedy, such as a pandemic, a war, or a natural disaster, there's a corresponding surge in reports of people seeing the dead or trying to contact them. After mass tragedies such as wars, many Americans have turned to Ouija boards. Big fat no-no, people.
You know how we feel.
No. But Americans have turned to Ouija boards in an attempt to contact departed loved ones. The 1918 influenza epidemic sparked a spiritualism craze as Americans turned to seances and Ouija boards to connect right, to contact departed loved ones. After the 9/11 terrorist attacks came a wave of people reporting sightings of and even conversations with those that had been snatched from their lives. When a tsunami struck Japan in 2011, killing at least 20,000 people, so many inhabitants of Ishinomaki, just forgive me for that, reported seeing their loved ones appear that a book and a documentary were made about the city of wandering ghosts. Okay, sorry, that sentence didn't make sense to me at first. These kind of reports are normal in my... Okay, forget that part. So here's why I thought this was such an interesting thing, is I remember the tsunami. I don't remember the year. You will remember the year. And it was Thailand, if I'm not mistaken, tsunami that hit Thailand. And they kept you up for weeks. Do you mind telling everybody your experiences? Not with that. And also, I mean, I think 9/11 was one that you also experienced the wave, so to speak.
Yeah. So my experience in both these situations is that right before 48 hours, maybe 72 to 48 hours before, out of agitation, and I can't, you know, I can't know what it is. I'm just short with my beloved.
Sorry to be.
Yeah, sorry. And, you know, just short, just impatient, gotta go, just, you know, be left by myself but not knowing why. And then I think for me, I was in Wisconsin, home for the, there was nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. You know? And then once it hits, since the attack happened, then... And it's not like, you know, I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to intentionally, you know, do service in the dream state of reuniting souls with their loved ones so that they can say goodbye. It's not my intention. I just go to bed, obviously very sad, you know, just heartbroken for the trauma, for the loss, for the, you know, all that. And then for weeks after that, what happens is I'm not really resting because I'm working in the dream state to reunite these families and these loved ones. And it's beautiful witness. It's exhausting, but, you know, to try and serve in this way, but they have need for assistance to have those connections. So that's, yeah. So that happens.
How do you deal with the crowd control? Because, you know, when these happen,
right.
But how do you deal with it? Like, do your guides come in and deal with the crowd control so you kind of can deal with one by one situation? Right. That's exhausting.
And it's funny because it's funny you say that, because that is, those are, you know, my guides have their roles in the, you know, being, I jokingly.
I think they've done that shit to me, by the way, but go ahead. In the back of the line, elf.
To the front of the line.
That's true. They do actually. I get a cut line for sure.
Yeah. But I can't deal with that. Like, you know what happens when I get overwhelmed, when the masses are stepping and take care of that for me. But my job is to hold the space and you know, create that. Literally, that's where you're the medium. Like, you are literally the medium, so these two souls can have a conscious connection, not so much for the spirit, but for the human. Like, to let it sink into their consciousness and hold it enough so that they can, you know, kind of be like, I'm snapping my fingers because, you know, how like if someone taps you lightly when you're sleeping, but they don't really wake you up, like almost like that.
That's how you got to him, right?
Yeah, that's my job. So to spiritually or energetically do this to them. Hey, pay attention.
Right.
Pay attention. This is your shot. Don't, you know, the Hamilton sign, don't throw away your shot, right? Like, this is it. Come on.
Wait, did you just do a Hamilton line?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, it's the name of the song. Yeah.
All cultural. So now how long did this,
for each one of those, it was probably a month, at least a month's worth of work. Yeah. Because,
damn.
You know, I can't do, you know, 1,000 people, 1,000 souls in the night. Like, that's not what I don't have that gift. I wish I could, but I don't have that
gift.
Does
anybody? So, who does?
Somebody might. I don't have that level of clearance.
If somebody does, raise your hand on Instagram. Let us know.
Well, I will say that for some nights where we would work at a different level and it would be more drive-bys than exchanges, than full exchanges. Mm-hmm. And so there would be circles. And I imagined that they were somehow connected. Those, like, so we would do maybe 10 at a time, and like somehow those
thoughts
would be connected.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, maybe 10, maybe 20 sometimes. But yeah, that's what
I
imagined.
Yeah, you're doing like groups.
Yeah.
You're bringing in groups and that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then now, because these were thousands and thousands of people in these mass tragedies, right?
Yeah.
And so when we're talking about like 9/11, mm-hmm. which was so, not that any, like all of these disasters are heavy, but this one, particularly in our home, right?
Yeah.
In the United States, was so traumatizing and everybody was on edge. How were you, or how do you, or did you deal with your own kind of emotions and dealing with it? Then you also have to do this work.
So for me, I love New York, right? Because my brother introduced me to New York. I spent a lot of time there when he, and then, you know, I worked there. Eventually, I did a lot of work there, both corporate work and spiritual work. So a heart space for New York. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, because, you know, there were other sites for attacks as well. But so for me, the best way to serve.
Oh, yeah, right? That makes sense.
It sounds silly, but it's just true. So obviously so many news cycles, so many stories, so many this, so many that. But it wasn't, so for so long, I didn't cry. Like I couldn't even cry. I was just like so many people just so overwhelmed. I didn't even know how to process it. But it was probably like maybe even a month after. So maybe I was done with the connecting work afternoon. I'll just never forget it. I was in my little house on, and Scott Simon from NPR just did a human piece on 9/11. It wasn't over, you know, it was just like this human story of it. And I just sobbed, like just, you know, just broke down for, you know, probably an hour and sobbed. And it was shortly after that he came to town for something. And I went to the event just to hand out, to thank him for the healing piece.
Aww. Like
it was just, you know, I didn't, you know me, I didn't stay long. And I didn't say, I don't think I said anything to him. I just said,
for the record, everybody, Brenda never stays long anywhere. Like she is in and she does the Irish goodbye. I mean, she is in and out.
That's true. But, you know, there were a lot of people there and, you know, whatever. But I there's so much news to go with that story. But the human piece sometimes got so sensationalized it wasn't helpful. But anyhow, I wanted to give him a shout out for that. I don't know. Just came up.
I think it's one of those things too. I mean, I'm going to stay on 9/11 for just a second because I just had a very recent experience with this, with 9/11. I was just in New York at the Tribeca Film Festival because the company Storyfile that I work for had a story file of this woman named Carmen. And she is one half of, I don't know if you've ever heard of this, but they were called the Lovebirds of the Twin Towers. Mm-hmm. They met because Carmen and Arturo are the two people. They both work the elevators and they ended up dating and got married, fell in love, got married.
Oh,
and they were the Lovebirds, right? They were both working the morning of 9/11. And long story short on the whole thing is that they both physically survived. And I say physically survived because of all the trauma and everything that they've gone through. And so Ari, who is the head of creative for Storyfile, has been working on this for years, like a VR film experience mm-hmm. of this. And so important, right?
Such important
and,
work.
And so I saw it, this VR experience for the first time last week, actually. Mm-hmm. And I had those headsets on and I have tears running down my face because it's when you personalize it like that, when you see, because what happened is these two, they're no longer together.
Right, of course.
This is trauma. Not a Hollywood ending.
Yeah,
this is a real life ending because of trauma. Exactly right.
Yeah.
And she had burns all over her. I mean, but it's something I think that had been out in the news. And I'm not sure if people had actually heard of the Lovebirds. I had not. And so it was a new story because there are hundreds of thousands of stories of that, very personal stories. And it was just, you know, really the one that, again, not Hollywood ending, that was very moving. And I think that I had some grieving that happened last week.
Yeah.
So I totally understand what you were saying about that.
Yeah, that human aspect. Yeah, it's so important. And we're going to take a break and come right back after this word.
Word.
Spark the savings at JCPenney's 4th of July sale now through Sunday. Get up to 50% off select furniture, mattresses, and window coverings during our home sale. Plus, save on hundreds of doorbusters across the store for the entire family. Save even more on select styles with an extra 25% off coupon. Celebrate every summer moment with JCPenney. Offers and coupon valid through 7/4. Doorbusters valid 7/1 through 7/4. Some exclusions apply. Furniture, mattresses, and window coverings limited to 10% off coupon. See store or jcp.com for details.
Veteran news anchor Ron Burgundy returns with the Ron Burgundy Podcast to take on the most pressing and exciting topics of our day, along with his co-host and producer, Carolina Barlow. Get the truth about the stories that affect your life, as only Ron Burgundy can deliver it.
I've heard it said, perhaps by me, that you can earn a degree listening to my podcast. That's what I heard from my source, that is, myself.
This is hard-hitting, no-holds-barred news.
I am a trusted source for so many people out there. People think of me as a comforting, compassionate, welcoming presence in their homes.
This is the special brand of honest, to-the-point reporting you've come to expect from Ron Burgundy.
I don't know whether it's the timbre of my voice, measured tone, or my musky personal scent, but I've never felt more loved as a broadcaster than right now.
Listen to the Ron Burgundy Podcast, Season 4, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back.
Nerdy Elf is here again.
I was going to say, I think we're coming back to Nerdy Elf's story.
We are coming back. And I just really, I just want to, for those who won't get a chance to read it, there are other stories other than the horns, but I am going to get back to him in a second. But there is a story about a dining room encounter with a beloved aunt, a cold hand on a shoulder, and a whiff of perfume. I mean, these are all the things, right, yeah, that are being reported. And there's even some that are visitations that are not welcomed, because I think they're scaring them. I think they're touching them. And yeah, people get afraid. Listen, people are afraid of ghosts in general, but they're definitely afraid.
Freaks them out.
So when they touch them.
And we want to hear your stories too, because we know you have them.
So. Oh my God, yes, please.
Yes.
So what I think when it comes to the article, there's just one last piece. I hope everybody will indulge me in this, because it's really, this man is incredible, but I'm going to skip to this last section. And it says, he talks about these signs. He said, the signs are comforting to him because Horn remembers how Michelle fought so hard to live. He says her immune system was weakened after she received a kidney transplant several years ago. When the pandemic hit, they both dreaded what would happen if she got the virus. After their worst fears proved true, Horn said it seemed at first as if Michelle would survive. She endured a lengthy hospital stay, which included being put on a ventilator, but was released last October. She worked hard to get better, but there were times when Michelle's natural optimism wavered. Horn says she once told him, "I'm such a burden to you. You don't deserve this. You should just leave." Mm-hmm. He kept encouraging her in physical therapy. "I was in it for the long haul, for better or for worse," he says. Michelle's body, though, didn't have the strength for the long haul. She died from a heart attack last October. Her body weakened by COVID, Horn said. She was 50. Horn's radio audience has rallied around him. He shared his story on the air, and it's been featured in local newspapers. He finds it cathartic to talk about Michelle. "I feel that a person dies twice. Once, when they have their physical death, and the second time, when we stop saying their name. Any opportunity I have to talk about Michelle, I will take it." And then they actually show us a picture of the purple streetlights. And sorry for the paper rustling. But the last thing that he says, as I'm already teary, which is why I want to share this, because these are real people, right? Mm. He says, "The purple lights in Wichita are still shining," so on and so forth. And apparently he called the city. They claimed it's a faulty light. Yeah.
That they can't
fix. Exactly. And he says, "I'm kind of honestly hoping that they don't fix it. I will always believe that Michelle turned them purple. Whether she actually did or not, that's up to a reader or a viewer to decide. They can explain it away. I believe it was a way for Michelle to be with me on my ride to work." I love so deeply, and this is the most, like, all of it's important, but what I love so much for everybody who listens is when he says, "Whether she actually did or not, that's up to a reader or viewer to decide. They can explain it away." That is somebody who has conviction, who knows in his soul that that is his wife that was reaching out to him, because he doesn't give two shits about what somebody else says. And I get that, because Bryn, mm-hmm. how often have we dealt with people wanting to argue, dealt with people that just like, no, that's not true, prove it, you know, and my response has always been, listen, it's not required. You don't have to believe.
Right.
It's not required.
Well, and it's not even like, oh, you're a jerk. Oh, you know, or your scientific mind is trying to rationalize it. And if we don't have the ABCs of it, then it's not real. Like if it's not real for you, no matter how much information I give you, it's not going to be real.
Right? Correct.
So there's no point in trying or being frustrated. You just bless them and go on. Like even, you know, our origin story, where I knew you were in deep grief. I didn't know you otherwise. I didn't know you. It was the first time I met you. You were in deep grief. And that's why I said to Ruben, like, is this person open? And that's why the only thing I said to you is, you know,
it doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to be this hard.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be this hard.
Doesn't
it's never
have to
easy,
be this hard.
But it doesn't have to be this hard, because right. you were crushed, right?
Crushed like a can.
Yeah.
Crushed like an aluminum can, not a good old Tab or Fresca can from the 70s. I was crushed like the thin ass wall, shitty aluminum cans we have now.
So anyhow, but I love that he's so clear about their connection.
And that he's very clear.
Yeah. She's, you know, with him on his drive.
She's good.
Yeah.
You've got to hand it to her. She's good.
Yeah. And so is he, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So he'll be hearing from us.
Yay.
So if anybody knows him, warn him that the nerdy elf is coming at him just to say, you're awesome. Because guys like these type of situations is what actually furthers, we
the
hope,
cause. Yeah.
The cause for people to be open, for people to be less judgmental. You know, that's kind of the goal, I think, in anything in our endeavors in life, is just for to try to open people up as much as we can to do was the work that we can do, no matter what it is, whether it is. Listen, I remember being in gay marches in the early 90s, and there were only a bunch of queers that were hanging out. And again, I had my great T-shirt that says, dip me in honey and throw me to the lesbians. I wish I still had it, by the way. But I remember being the only ones out there. You're going to get me one, aren't you?
Oh my God, I want to so bad. I'm going to find one.
Yeah, I hope you do. V-neck, please.
No.
Yeah, everybody should know by now. But whether it's that, and then, you know, later in life, I see a bunch of straight people out there marching with us, right? Because mm-hmm. they started to open up. I see the same thing with like the Black Lives Matter. For so long, it was just African-Americans who were out there marching and fighting. And then you start to see other people start to show up. That's when things change. This is one of those things to open up to the divine like this. Is you get people who you would not normally see in something like this, right?
The continuation of life, yeah.
Right. And so it's just nice. I'm so glad that he has so much bravery to do this. I just want to hug him, because you know me. I just want to hug everybody that, you know,
come
across.
It's so great. Thank you for bringing this story to us, my nerdy elf.
You are welcome, my witchy poo.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful.
And thank
beautiful.
You, CNN, for writing it. That's brave of you guys, too. Because the writer was not, he wasn't shitty at all. I mean, he was like, gave us some historical facts, which is nice. Yeah. Reported quotes, as, you know, Mr. Horn would say. It was nice. So I enjoyed this.
It was good. It was good. And, like, they understand life is hard.
Well, they understand that Earth School is hard for sure. Without the other side, and without Michelle Horn and purple lights. Purple fucking lights, Bran.
Yeah, I know.
Like, I saw that. I'm like, oh my God, this article's for my witch.
Wisconsin girl in purple. I love it.
Like, come on.
So we want to know, did you get chills when she read the story? Like, we want to know all your stories. If you've seen your loved ones who passed from COVID, share your stories with us. Can't wait to hear.
Thanks, everybody. And remember,
our school is hard.
Without the other side.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And a special thanks to our producer, Maya Cole, who guides us while we guide you.
Hit us up on Instagram at Other Side Guides, or shoot us a note at othersideguides@iheartradio.com. And you can even call us at 833-22-GUIDE to leave us a message.
We want to know what you think, we want to know what you know, and we want to hear your stories.
And remember,
Earth School is hard
without the other side. Insider's Guide to the Other Side is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.